One should never ask a preacher to preach on all 10 commandments in one sermon. We were taught in seminary that you should have no more than 3 points, and more recently it's only one good point. We have 10 of them today, so stand up for a minute. We're going long today. Just stand up for a minute, because you're going to have to settle in. Okay, thank you. Have a seat. Elsa was reminding me of a cartoon she saw on the internet that shows Moses holding the Ten Commandments and looking up in the heavens, and he says, "I downloaded them from the cloud onto my tablet." I like to wear a stole because it's part of my tradition in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ to do that, but also because it reminds us that we're all yoked together, we're all covenanted together with God and Jesus Christ in ministry together. And this morning you might think of these as the two tablets, right? Can I have an amen? Thank you. Let's pray. Loving God, may your word be a lamp to our feet, your word in these 10 words, these 10 commandments that you've given to us that were summarized by Jesus in the two great commandments. May your word be a lamp to our feet. May your word be a light to our path as we seek to walk in covenant with you. In Jesus we pray, amen. I, Joe, love you, Ellen, and I do promise and covenant to be your loving and faithful husband, to have and hold you from this day forward for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, in joy and in sorrow, to love and to cherish according to the grace of God. And so I pledge you my faith. Almost 40 years ago, we said those vows on August the 23rd, 1970, or as we like to say, 48 long years ago. It's supposed to be a joke. And if you notice, the marriage vow is a covenant. I do promise and covenant to be your loving and faithful husband or wife. It's a promise of love. So today, as we continue our Lenten series, we're talking about covenants that God has given to us. And I'm not going to give you a test today, but do you remember 2 years ago when we did our 5-month survey of the Bible, Pastor Tim stood here and preached about covenant and told us that there were two basic kinds of covenant in the Bible. The first is an unconditional covenant, a no-matter-what covenant of love. God loves us no matter what, no strings attached. The scholars say this is a covenant that is binding on God. It binds God to love us no matter what. And we've already seen two of those so far in this series. Tim preached on the covenant with Noah in the first sermon, in which God promises never to destroy the earth again by water. And it's a covenant not just with Noah and his family, but with all people and with all animals and with all creation. You remember Tim preached about that. Can I have an amen? Amen. Thank you. You remember. And then last week, Tim preached about the covenant with Abraham and Sarah, another unconditional, no matter what covenant. God chooses Abraham and Sarah to be the parents of a chosen family, a chosen race, a chosen nation, blessing them to be a blessing to all nations. And if you remember the story of that covenant, it is an everlasting covenant to go from Abraham and Sarah to their children and their children's children and their children's children's children forever. An unconditional, no matter what kind of covenant, a covenant of love, a covenant of grace. Now, the marriage covenant, at least in its words, is that kind of a covenant. I promise and covenant, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, in joy and in sorrow. No matter what, I promise to be your loving and faithful husband or wife. Unconditional, no matter what, no strings attached, covenant. We sometimes refer to marriage as tying the knot, tying the knot. Our visual is a draping on the cross with knots in it to represent that we are tied in a knot. We're knotted in covenant with God, tying the knot. But you know, in real life, that unconditional, no matter what covenant. In real life, in marriage, sometimes there are strings attached, right? Just give me an uh-huh on that one, okay? Uh-huh. Sometimes there are strings attached. Sometimes, even though the words say it's unconditional, and as the other part of the vow says, until death do us part, or as long as we both shall live, sometimes there are some unspoken strings like, well, as long as we stay faithful to each other, or as long as we remain compatible. Incompatibility is one of the main reasons for divorce these days. As long as we're still happy. Unspoken, there are strings attached. And that brings us to the second kind of covenant in the Bible, and that is a conditional covenant. A covenant, as the scholars say, with stipulations, with obligations. This covenant is binding on God, but it's also binding on people. We have obligations. We have our part of the covenant that we have to keep. And in the Bible, there are several examples of that. The main one is the covenant with the people of Israel through Moses, the one we're looking at today, sometimes called the Mosaic Covenant. God promises to be God and to love the children of Israel, bringing them out of slavery in Egypt, leading them to the promised land, but there are also some stipulations in this covenant. There are some obligations that the children of Israel have to hold to. The Ten Commandments. Those are the top 10 of the obligations that the people are binding themselves to God with. Stipulations on the covenant. The Ten Commandments. Actually, there are 613 laws in the Old Testament that developed over the next several books, but these 10 are the top 10. These are the most important stipulations on the covenant. As we begin to look at that today, though, we need to think of the Ten Commandments as guidelines to help us keep our covenant central. Our covenant with God and our covenant with each other. These are guidelines to help us keep the covenant central in our lives. Yes, they're laws. Yes, they're important. Yes, they're necessary, but they're not legalisms. They're not legalisms. You know, that's what the Pharisees fell into in the New Testament. They fell into making the laws legalisms, and it got them into a lot of trouble. Paul says later, the letter kills, in 2 Corinthians, the letter kills, but the Spirit, you know, gives life. The Spirit gives life. So if you turn the laws into legalisms, you forget about the Spirit of grace and love. You forget about the fact that these are part of a covenant of love that God, in giving us the Ten Commandments, is trying to help us keep in our own lives. So two kinds of covenant. Unconditional, no matter what, binding God. I'm going to love you no matter what you do. And conditional covenants with stipulations and obligations. They need to not be seen as legalisms because we all fall down on them, don't we? I'm here today to make a confession. I've broken at least 5 or 6 of those Ten Commandments. I'm not going to tell you which ones because you'll start looking for the dead bodies. If you're honest and you go through the Ten Commandments, in one way or another, every one of you, every one of us, has broken probably a majority of those Ten Commandments. We can't be legalistic about it because we have to remember it's about grace. It's about forgiveness. It's about love, no matter what, but then requires us to follow guidelines to keep the covenant central in our lives. Steve Stinger and I are teaching a class on extreme grandparenting. And in that book, the authors are telling grandparents not to be too strict, and they say, interestingly, legalism is evil. These are evangelical writers. And they say, legalism is evil. Would you say that with me? Legalism is evil. One more time. Legalism is evil. So even as we think about the Ten Commandments, we don't want to fall into the trap of legalism, but we want to see them as something that's helpful to us, that are guidelines to help us live in a covenant of grace and love. Now, these obligations in this covenant with God are very practical. They relate to us in our daily lives. And I want to give you an extended example. I told you to settle back. Roger and I told you are about to embark starting in May on a 3-month bicycle trip starting in Yorktown, Virginia, and bicycling to Astoria, Oregon, over 4,500 miles. And I want to tell you that Roger and I are going to have to kind of have a covenant. When you take that long of a bicycle trip and you're climbing hills together and you're facing headwinds together and you're camping together every night and you're eating each other's food, bicycling along every day, you got to have a covenant. It's kind of like a marriage, Roger, at least for 3 months. But it's kind of like a marriage with some stipulations. I haven't told Roger about this yet. See, he's here to keep me honest. So I have a list of stipulations that are part of my covenant with Roger and his with me as we begin our bicycle journey in a couple of months. First of all, we're going to have a worship service, a brief worship service every morning when we get up. When I first started bicycling 40 years ago, I went with a seminary professor on a week-long tour, and he developed a little worship booklet for our group to use every day, and I still use that. Every day, every morning of worship, it's going to have a scripture reading in it and some prayers and a couple of songs to sing. I've talked to Roger about this one. He's going to bring a songbook to share in that. We're going to have worship every morning. Another stipulation is that we are not going to badmouth each other on the trip. You know, sometimes we're going to get kind of ticked off. We're going to get irritated when you're climbing a 15% grade in the Ozarks. Are you facing 35-mile-an-hour headwinds in Kansas? Or a car swerves right near to you? You know, you're going to utter a few words. I'm not going to repeat those right now. A few expletives are going to come out of our mouths. But we're not going to badmouth each other. We're not going to call each other names. Even if we're angry at each other, we're not going to hurl expletives at each other. That's another stipulation. We are going to take a day of rest every week. Every 7 or 8 days, we're going to take a whole day, hopefully in some place that has something interesting to do, and take a day off. When I bicycled Route 66, I went 3 weeks without a full day off, a couple of part days of about 30 miles. At the end of 3 weeks, Guy, my buddy, bicycling buddy, and I were whipped. We just about burnt out. We're going to take a day of rest. Are you okay with that, Roger? Good. A day of rest every week. And another stipulation is we're going to stay in touch with Ellen and Mary. We're going to stay in touch with our wives and our kids and our grandkids. We're every 2 days at least, that's kind of my rule. Ellen probably would like it to be every day. Every 2 days, we're going to call or send a text message or an email. We're going to stay in touch with our families. We're not going to hurt anybody. We're not going to do harm to anybody along the way. We're not going to harm each other. He's nodding. Thank you. We're not going to harm other cyclists we meet. We're not going to harm people in the campgrounds at night. Even if a car seems hostile and tries to run us off the road, we're not going to throw anything at the car and try to harm that person. We're not going to do anything on the trip that harms other people. We are not going to cat around on our wives. You know, three guys after 3 months together on the road can get a little, how can I say this, frustrated. We're not going to take advantage of our time alone to find some woman in a bar somewhere and do something we shouldn't do. We're not going to go philandering around. Amen, Mary and Ellen. We are not going to take anything that doesn't belong to us. When we're in a campground at night and we don't have enough food and we see an empty campsite over on the side, we're not going to take some of the food that we see sitting there when the people aren't around. And when we stop in a country store or a convenience store, and we're going to do a lot of that to get stuff to drink and eat, if there's not an attendant there, a clerk, we're not going to take something anyway. And if we camp in a campground where there's no camp host, no attendant to pay, we're not going to just camp and leave in the morning without paying. We're going to put our money in the envelope and leave it to pay for the campsite. We're not going to take anything that doesn't belong to us. And you know, when we see that $4,000 titanium bike on another bicycle that's coming by, we're not going to obsess over that. We're not going to lust obsessively about that great bicycle or the latest GPS that's connected with your bicycle computer that costs several hundred dollars and can tell you everything you want to know. Or when we run across that boutique bicycling group You know the one that's staying in bed and breakfast every night and has a support van, carries all their gear, if they have to camp, sets up their tents for them, does all their cooking for them. We're not gonna obsess over that, craving that in our lives, in our bicycling. Well, Roger, that's some of my list of stipulations. Part of a covenant to help us stay faithful in covenant of love with one another. Now, did you notice those kind of follow the Ten Commandments? Anybody notice that? Worship every morning. That's the first two commandments. You should worship the Lord your God and Him only, and make no idols. Don't worship a graven image. Not bad-mouthing each other. Well, that's not misusing the name of God. How? Because we are created in God's image. And if we badmouth each other, it's the same as badmouthing God. It's badmouthing the image of God in us. So we're not going to, even in anger, curse at one another. A day of rest. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And if it happens to be Sunday and there's a church service to go to, we'll do that. Try to find a church to visit that day, but mainly to rest and renew our bodies, to restore ourselves for the next week. Keeping in contact with Ellen and Mary. Honor your father and mother. Mary and Ellen are the mothers. This is kind of getting technical here. Mothers of our children. But that commandment's really about honoring and respecting our families, isn't it? We're going to stay in touch to honor and respect and keep a covenant relationship strong in our marriages and with our kids and our grandkids, even when we're on the road for 3 months. Not doing harm to anybody else, you shall not kill. Not even kill part of them by doing harm. Not catting around to philandering, you shall not commit adultery. Don't take anything that doesn't belong to us, you shall not steal. Don't lust after that $4,000 titanium bike or the boutique bicycling group, you shall not covet your neighbor's possession or wife or slave or anything else, you shall not covet. The Ten Commandments are very practical. They apply to every day of our lives to help us keep a covenant of grace and love central in our relationship with God and with one another. Again, legalism is evil. Would you say that with me? Legalism is evil. Again, legalism is evil. We're going to mess up on some of those. There are going to be some days it's pretty hectic, and we're just going to skip worship in the morning. I'm here to tell you that happens. And there's going to be a time or two when we see an attractive woman, and we're going to look kind of appreciatively. But we're not going to act on it. I promise that. And there's a time or two, probably in anger, that we may accidentally let slip an angry word at each other. We're not to take these legalistically. We're to have forgiveness and grace, but we're to use these Ten Commandments to keep covenant central in our lives. Now, you may wonder how I remembered all those. Actually, I forgot one. I left one of them out, didn't I? Who knows which one I left out? You shall not bear false witness. We're going to be honest with each other on the trip. We're not going to lie to each other when we're in camp or with a host home. We're not going to present ourselves as something that we are not. We're going to be honest. Do not bear false witness is the other one. Well, you may wonder how I remember all those things. Well, there's a little technique I'm going to teach you this morning. This is going to be combined worship and Sunday school, okay? I got this technique from John Walsh, who is the head of the Biblical Storytelling Group here in town, and he spoke to the Mennonite Pastor Peer Group several years ago and taught this to us. So I'm going to teach it to you so that you can remember these. If you want to keep the covenant central in your life, you have to remember what the stipulations are, right? Can I have an amen? Okay, so I'm going to teach you how to do it. It won't take long, and it involves some muscle memory, some kinetic memory. So you got to get ready, like a motion song, okay? So do after me. Up. Down, up, down to the side. Up, down, up, down to the side. No other gods before me. No idols or graven images. Do not take God's name or misuse God's name. Do not take God's name in vain. remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And to the side, there's mom and dad over there. Honor, honor your mother and father. Honor your family. Let's do that together, would you? No other gods before me. No idols. Do not misuse the name of God. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Honor your father and mother and your family. Okay, the next half is down to the face, down to the face, and to the side. Do that. Down to the face, down to the face, and to the side. You shall not kill, like you're stabbing somebody. And to the face, don't commit adultery so that you have to hide your face in shame. Down, don't steal. Don't take that jewelry off the person you didn't kill. And to the face, don't lie, don't bear false witness. And to the side, there's your neighbor over there. Don't covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. So let's do that together. You shall not kill, shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. Okay, let's do them all together, okay? No other gods, no idols, don't misuse God's name, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, honor your father and mother and your family. Do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not lie, and do not covet. So your homework is to go home and practice that, okay? Husbands and wives, kids, you can get in on this, practice it. Kids, you can give your parents a test, okay? See if they can name all 10 of them. Use those motions. If you can't remember them, look at Exodus 20 and look back up the 10 commandments. You can figure out what the motions are. That can help you remember these to keep covenant central. Keep the covenant of love and grace central in your life with God and with one another. So now let's make a covenant together. Please repeat after me. Only use your own name, and instead of Ellen's name, you can say God, or you can say your spouse, or a child, or you can just be silent and think about somebody. Repeat the covenant vow with me, after me. I, Joe, love you, Ellen. And I do promise and covenant to be your loving and faithful covenant partner. To have and hold you from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness or in health, in joy or in sorrow, to love and to cherish according to the grace of God. And so I pledge you my faith. A covenant of love. You don't need to repeat this part. A covenant of love with helpful obligations to keep the covenant central in our lives. A covenant of love and grace with God and with one another. Will you keep the covenant central in your life?